Don't be afraid. That's how I usually start my conversations with human beings. Are you all right? For some reason, whenever I make an appearance, people seem to fall down, can't talk, they become terrified. We're trained to respond to that kind of reaction and reassure our human clients as the first item of business to not be afraid. Really. I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, near the center of the consuming fire. The overpowering glory of God's presence would burn the best amongst you to a crisp in just an instant, and the faintest trailing wisps of God's glory that cling to my garments have made the most powerful soldiers melt in terror in some of my visits to earth. For I'm Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. From time to time, I stand in the presence of humans, too. I bring messages. That's what the word angel means, messenger. For instance, I was the one who told Daniel the meaning of King Belshazzar's vision. Daniel fell on his face when he saw me, out cold. I've been called to deliver many momentous messages, but none can compare with those I'll tell you about now. I traveled to Earth 3 different times in connection with the events leading up to that first Christmas. I was the one who disclosed the good news to Mary and to Joseph, and before that I spoke to old Zacharias the priest as to what part he and Elizabeth would play. All 3 missions came within months of each other. I went to Zacharias not quite a year before that first Christmas. He was a most godly man, an aging priest who served my master with distinction. His wife Elizabeth, she too was very godly. Both of them were getting up in years. They had no children, and that was a great sorrow to them. But my message would change all that, for what I had to tell this dear old couple would change their lives forever. Jehovah sent me to tell Zacharias that soon he and Elizabeth would have a son, and not just any son. Their son would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Their son was to be the promised forerunner of the Messiah. Their son would prepare Messiah's way in the spirit and power of Elijah. I went to Jerusalem. Zacharias was in the temple, all alone in that holy place, burning incense. A crowd of worshipers outside in the courtyard were at prayer. I went around behind the altar of incense, which stood before the veil that hung between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. At the altar, Zacharias was as close as anybody ever got to the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, except for the high priest himself, and he only on the Day of Atonement. I stood just to the south of the altar and watched the old man, who was intent in his work. Finally, he looked my way and was startled. You should have seen the look on his face. I started with a standard assurance. Don't be afraid. Jehovah's heard your prayers, and he is pleased to answer them. You will become a father. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear a son, and together you will name him John. I never know what kind of response to expect. The message should have been cause for celebration. The birth of a child would bring unbounded joy to many people. The son of Zacharias was destined to be great in Jehovah's sight. He would be a special child, a Nazarite. John would turn many people back to God. This was news of great hope, but the old priest, he didn't believe me. He said he and his wife were too old. I'm Gabriel, I said. I stand in the presence of God. Surely this old priest, who knew how serious a thing it is to minister in an earthly temple, would understand that I was speaking truth, for I stand in the heavenly temple. But Zacharias didn't believe. So how could this priest, who was entrusted to handle the mysteries of God, how could he not believe? Disbelief in a holy place. So I spoke again. This time I told him that because he didn't believe Jehovah, he'd not be able to speak until the things I told him had all been accomplished. It was such an irony. Zacharias the priest, who'd received great news, couldn't tell it to anyone because of his own doubt. The first of my 3 missions was complete, but just 6 months later, Jehovah sent me on my second mission. This time, my destination was a village in Nazareth, on the south edge of Galilee. Yeah, that backwater town. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I understand your surprise, but it was no mistake. My contact person was a young woman named Mary. I found her in her parents' home, one of the humble little dwellings of Nazareth. I said, "Be happy, Mary. You are the most blessed woman on earth." Of course, she was startled. She was afraid, but not like Zacharias or even Daniel. Mary seemed less afraid of me than she was puzzled by my greeting. What did I mean that she was the most blessed woman on earth? "Don't be afraid, Mary," I said. "You found favor with God." That seemed to calm her. I revealed to her that she would conceive and she would bear a son, and that her son's name should be called Jesus. I said that her baby would be great and be called the Son of the Highest. Jehovah would give her son the throne of David, and there would be no end to his reign. She was quiet for a moment. Then she raised a modest question. She wondered how she could be pregnant since she had never known a man. How could this happen? Details, details. Here I was announcing the great theological event in history, and she wanted to talk biology. But in another way, it was a very important question, I suppose. This event would mean nothing if not tied to physical human existence. So I told her that the Holy Spirit would come over her in such a way that she would become pregnant. And I reminded her that her aged cousin Elizabeth was already in the 6th month of her pregnancy. For nothing is impossible with God. Mary smiled a good smile. "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord," she said. My second mission accomplished, I had just one more visit to make. Some months passed. Mary had gone to visit Elizabeth in the hill country for a few months, and when she returned to Nazareth, it was obvious to all that she was pregnant. Gossip soon filled the small town, and even Joseph was asking painful questions. My mission was to let Joseph know that it was okay, and so I appeared to him in a dream and reassured him that he had a special part to play in a story that had begun centuries before, that he will save his people from their sins. Yes, Joseph would have to endure temporary local gossip in Nazareth, but that would never compare to the lasting joy of playing the role that he had been given in the salvation story of the world. And so my third mission was complete. It was my voice that revealed that Christmas was coming, that revealed the advent of the Lord. Three momentous messages from heaven, not causes for fear, but reasons for hope. So prepare the way. A son is born to the throne of David, and he will save his people from their sins.